her for as long as possible. She at 5 months is still unspayed, and so we've been using this little CC loop to see if maybe we could regenerate some nerve stuff. So I'm going to report to Dr. Bill, because he and I haven't talked about it yet, what's going on so far. We're going to get Joe involved, and then we will get into more of our Vet Sunday discussion. And from now on, phone lines are open. And hey, Scotty, why don't we do a first copy of Food Pets Die For, and Martin's on the block right now. So pick up your phone if you'd like to win Food Pets Die For by Ann Martin, or if you have a question for our Dr. Bill and Joe, you can call anytime at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can shoot us email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Fall into winter tip coming up. Weather's cold. Keep your animal friends safe. And we will continue with Vet Sunday right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog feeling happy and saying something like, "Oh boy, outside, let's go outside," and then go potty. Good go potty, good go potty. This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside grumble something like, "Oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty." Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, "Yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside." And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. "Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy." And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather and during the fall as the weather changes to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather sensitive also. Indoor only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we. So keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our Hanukkah edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. The Jingle Cats and Jingle Dogs are brought to you and brought to us courtesy of Mike, the creator, Mike Spalla, who created the Jingle Cats. And if you would like your own copy, they've got four or five CDs out these days, and you can go to jinglecats.com or you can go to amazon.com. They have several of the CDs available there. All right, it's Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame from Quilceta Vet Clinic in Marysville is in the house. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning again.
You have that great voice. Everybody mentions that every month. Who is the voice? We just have to call you the voice. And then we are joined by our friend Joe Thompson, who was with us the last Vet Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Joe is the energy medicine guy, the class 4 lasers, the CC loops, and what do you say, he does the underwater tanks and all that.
Rehabilitation medicine.
Yeah. Rehabilitation medicine. Yep. So let's welcome Joe Thompson. Welcome back to Animal World.
Hello.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. How are you all?
We're doing good. And I forget, what part of the country are you calling us from?
Wisconsin.
Ah, so what's going on in Wisconsin? What's the weather like back there?
Had our first snow, about 4 inches, and supposed to get down to single digits tonight.
Oh, that's chilly.
Yeah, by the way, Dr. Bill, if you listen carefully to Dr. Bill's voice,
uh-huh.
he is a perfect impersonator for the actor John Goodman.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, he is John Goodman's
voice. Yes,
guys,
he is. I had never thought of that.
Yes.
Wow, so we could pretend we have John Goodman in the studio.
Yes.
We could.
You seen Roseanne lately? Oh, man, that's very good. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is a little follow-up with you guys, because last time when you were on, we were talking about these rehabilitation medicine, the alternative things like... We talked about the class 4 lasers and this Assisi loop, which is, it's not a laser, it's an electrical therapy. Describe the Assisi loop to us, Joe.
Well, it uses a pulsed electromagnetic signal.
Okay, electromagnetic signal.
And, yeah.
And so these little Assisi loops, they are intended to be portable and disposable.
That's correct.
Which Joe, I'm just telling you, I got a problem with the disposable part. Just because it seems to me that you ought to be able to buy batteries and replace them.
Well, that's one of the new module or new designs that's being considered.
Ah, okay. I'm voting for the new design, so you can get replacement batteries rather than just dumping them.
Right now, we just recommend that people properly recycle them.
Right.
And I personally drop them in the recycle box at either Best Buy or Staples.
Oh, okay. No, Staples has a recycle for
batteries?
They'll
recycle any type of electrical device.
I didn't realize that. I have a Staples in Monroe because I have this big bag of batteries and stuff, and I don't know what to do with them because I know I shouldn't throw them in the garbage. But, okay, I'll check out Staples. So anyway, the Assisi loop, it's a little plastic. It's like a rubber plastic disc.
Yes.
Maybe about 2.5 inches in diameter.
More like 7.5.
No, well, I'm talking about the pulsing part of it.
Oh, the little transmitter is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about 2.5 to 3 inches in diameter.
Yeah, and then out of that little transmitter comes a wire.
The antenna.
The antenna, is that what you call it? And it's a loop. actually.
Yes. And that's 7.5 inches in diameter.
Right. And then, and so what you do is you turn it on, and it flashes a light to let you know it's on. And then you lay this loop over the area of the body that you want to treat?
That's correct.
And what are the type of things that the CC loop might be beneficial?
Well, we're getting a lot of very positive reports from all over the country, particularly in osteoarthritis conditions, which is a very common condition in both dogs and cats, more so dogs than cats. But lots of times older cats will get this lumbosacral osteoarthritis from mm-hmm. squatting in a litter box and things like that, and uh-huh. it works great for that. But any type of degenerative joint disease. The other thing with the Assisi loop that continue to get reports from veterinarians all over is on neurological conditions, like disc problems and where there's been some type of nerve damage and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
Mm-hmm. And this is with humans as well as animals?
I don't deal with humans, so I really...
But didn't you tell us last time that this Assisi loop was developed for humans first?
It was, unless it's really something earth-shaking, I'm so busy with the veterinary
gotcha.
Side of things that I know that I actually told the company that because we've had from the veterinarians, just anecdotally... You know, it's one of these things where I don't have exact numbers that say, 28 veterinarians said this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk to enough people, a pattern develops. And enough of a pattern has developed with this neurological cases that have been positive that I actually said to the company, the next time you guys do a research project, I think you ought to take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had a lot of really good response from veterinarians regarding neurological conditions. They've got studies that say that it will generate bone and cartilage and even blood vessels. And I said, you might want to take a look at nerves. I mean, if you had something that really did a good job on nerve tissue, I'm sure that there are a lot of people that would benefit. I just talked to a doctor who had used it for sciatica, and it works great for that.
Wow.
So
what are you, for sciatica in an animal?
I believe she was treating herself.
Oh, herself. Okay.
She's a veterinarian.
Oh, now, I want to do it before we go to the phones, because we've got, David, you hold on to your phone line, because we'll take your call here as soon as we finish with this. I want to follow up, because I've been using the Assisi loop with my little kitten, the Sophie Sweet Cheeks. Because her tail was, like Bill says, some kind of nerve damage when she was very, very young. And she doesn't have control over her tail and no feeling in her tail. And ordinarily what one would do is amputate the tail when she's spayed. So we have some time to fool around with it. So Bill said, well, why don't we try the Assisi loop to see if we can't get any nerve regeneration? So I have to say, you guys, I was supposed to use it 15 minutes twice a day on her for about 10 days. And I have to tell you that when you're dealing with a young peel-em-off-the-wall brand kitten, the first big hurdle is getting them to hold still long enough to do it. And I found out with her, I just have to wear her out and get her in sleep mode.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's just in dozing mode, she sees it coming, and of course she wants to play with anything. But so I wasn't absolutely religious on two sessions every day, but I did notice an immediate change. And I can't say that it's brought, nerve function back to her whole tail. And I've kind of taken a break from it now because I want to discuss it with you guys today. What I noticed immediately, Dr. Bill and Joe, was that her ability to hold the tail up got much stronger. And where it just kind of hung down before, now she can lift the tail up. I still think there's no feeling in the tail, because when she's eating, I'll come up behind her and then kind of, pinch the tail all the way up. I don't get a response. But when she's playing and running around, she can actually lift the tail up, and sometimes now it even stands straight up. you know, and then tips over at the end. And I almost thought I saw her switch it the other day, but there's definitely more of an arc to it. She can lift it higher. It stands up straighter before it dumps over. So something happened.
Sounds like it.
And so I'm wondering, does it make sense to just continue to use it? I mean, can you overuse an Assisi loop? What do you guys think?
You can't overuse it.
You cannot?
Cannot.
Cannot,
no,
okay.
Really no such thing as over. The only part of overusing it would be there's a certain point of, you know, where you really doing any more benefit. If you were to do it, say, you know, six times a day, is that really going to benefit? Or if you... intensified that, but as far as that, you really can't overuse it. There's no such thing as doing it too much. It's just whether or not you're, you know, benefiting it. Because whenever you do these therapies, whether it be any type of these therapies, laser therapy or CC loop therapy, the tissue needs time to respond and heal, and you need that downtime in there in order for these therapies to be effective.
Well, so I sort of took a break for a little while because I didn't want to totally use it up. I wanted to talk to you guys again, but I was thinking that I would start it up again just to see. The other question I had, Dr. Bill, remember last time you were on, we were talking about the Assisi loops. You said, talking to other veterinarians, what really caught your attention was it a dog that had been hit by a car or something that had, what is that, that brachial cephalic, that nerve that gets paralyzed in a front leg? And,
yes.
And that's actually the reason why I had to euthanize Chowie Golden, was an injury like that. Actually, it wasn't an injury. It just developed. At any rate, so I was real interested in that, and I've never seen that be able to heal. But you said they used, I think you said, and this is what I wanted to clarify, that vet used the Class 4 laser first and then followed up with the Assisi loop at home, but that dog had a full recovery?
Yeah, that was, Joe, that was Bob McClung in Ohio.
Yeah, Dr. McClung, yeah.
He started with a Class 4 laser and then followed up with the Assisi.
Okay, so here's my question, because am I remembering correctly, Dr. Bill, did you tell me that you have a Class 4 laser?
Yes.
At Quilceta Vet Clinic,
right,
that you can use?
Right.
So I'm wondering, since all we've done is the Assisi loop with Sophie and her tail, would it make sense for me to bring her in for a Class 4 laser treatment or something on that tail and then do the Assisi loop? Do you think there's any point in trying that?
You never know till you try, but when you're using two technologies at once, then which one really worked?
Right.
So my tendency is to simplify before I complicate, since we're not dealing with a life-threatening situation.
Right.
Use one modality first, see how much you get out of that, and then go to the other modality.
Okay.
I think in that situation, the dog with the brachial plexus, they were just doing what was, you know, those don't recover, so throw the book at it.
Right, right.
You know, that was an acute illness. You want to strike while the metal's hot. You want to try to get rid of the, decrease the inflammation and damage to the nerve tissue. So I can see why they approached it like that.
Originally. Yeah, and my gut is kind of telling me that, see, we didn't get this injury of Sophie's tail right away. I mean, it happened sometime when she was teeny, teeny, tiny, and it had been, you know, months before we started treating it. My gut kind of says that if we'd been able, if you had a tail that was injured like that, if you got it right away, the chances of bringing it back might be better. Do you think that?
Right. We don't know if she'll ever regenerate. We don't know what the injury was.
Right.
So, but if you have an acute injury, then you want to maximize your efforts as soon as possible. Because you still have functional nerve tissue, it's just inflamed.
Yeah, so this is something you want to keep in mind, folks. If you know, you have an animal that gets injured here, and that tail or these nerve damages, know that we've got a vet here locally that's got the, you know, it's got the Class 4 lasers, got access to the Assisi loops, so this technology is available here in our area. Now, Joe, I know you're the one that sells this stuff to the vets.
Yes, I do.
Do we have any other vets in our area out here in the greater Seattle area that have the Class 4 laser, or is Dr. Bill the only one?
I honestly do not know in your area. The laser companies, if you go to klaserusa.com, that's K, laser, laserusa.com. And I forget, I think it's Companion Animal Laser is the other one. They have links where you can type in a zip code or a city or something and and can identify where clinics are that have their products. With the Assisi, we are working on having a listing on a web page where pet owners can go and put in, you know, their state or whatever, and find veterinary clinics that are using the Assisi loops.
Ah, okay.
And we hope to have that up by the first of the year.
Oh, okay.
Because I find that to be very helpful to the pet owners.
You know, I'd like to. Two things. I know Dr. Brune in Bothell has a class 4 laser.
Oh, okay.
And you and Dr. Brune, you and John,
let's say I didn't even know, because you guys were Vet Sunday. We used to tag team you guys together on Vet Sunday a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a lot of the same things. You were to the first, I think, to have one of the surgical lasers.
Right.
And so he's got the class 4 laser.
You just got it, right.
And he's like between Bothell and Mill Creek, isn't he? On
he's been real impressed with a class 4 laser so far, Dr. Brune. He's kind of seen some interesting things. So it's a great modality. What I'd like to ask Joe to do is to, if you could, is contrast and compare the two modalities, the class 4 laser versus the Assisi.
Well, first off, you're dealing with two different types of energy. The laser is light energy,
mm-hmm.
and the Assisi loop is electromagnetic energy. And those are two different, totally different types of energy sources. That's the first thing. The cells in a body, in an animal's body or a person's body will respond differently to different things.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the lasers, lasers work off of various light wavelengths, and the, you know, around 800 nanometers to 970 nanometers, those are the range in which the therapeutic lasers work. The lower nanometer, the 800 nanometer lasers, tend to be more beneficial for superficial type, you know, like injuries and wounds and so forth, whereas the 970 type range nanometer lasers are really better for the deeper tissue, like bones and tendons and so forth. So, and then within, you know, when you take the Assisi loop in there, that's really doing more of a specific action we talked about last time. They pretty much know exactly what's happening with that device. That device is the frequency that's being emitted by this field is stimulating protein and an ion to bind, which causes the cells to release nitric oxide, which is how the body fights pain. Excuse me. And the laser does that as well, but it does it in a different way.
Hmm.
So going back to, you know, using these two modalities for, like, your kitten,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Bill, you want to use one or the other.
Oh, okay.
For the most part, what my people are doing is they're using the laser because it is a more intense energy.
Uh-huh.
They'll use that initially to jumpstart the healing process, and then they go behind it with the Assisi.
Which is what you kind of described to that vet that had the dog.
Yes. Yes.
And so we kind of, I mean, we didn't even think about doing that with Sophie to start with, but again, we weren't aware when the injury happened.
That's correct.
I just one last question now, because I want to take this phone call before he gets tired of waiting and hangs up. But I'm wondering, like Dr. Bill, if I know how the CC works loop works because I get Sophie sleeping and then I just lay it over the area and, you know, she doesn't feel anything. It's there. Now, if I were to bring her in for a laser treatment, how does that work? Do you anesthetize the pacemen, or how would that work?
What we do for dogs is the technicians at the office, they go into a room, they put a nice cushion on the floor, and they get down on the floor with the patient,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the owner there, and everybody gets their protective eyeglasses on because that light...
Oh, you have to wear it? It's like when you're around x-rays, you put on the...
light laser can damage your retina if you happen to look into it,
okay.
theoretically. And there are certain on these class 4 laser units, they have preset therapy modules. So it, and I'll let Joe expand upon that, but basically it has variable lengths of time of emitting the laser and has variable frequencies in that time frame. And you treat the area like a playing card size area. For mm-hmm. so many minutes.
And it's like this is a handheld kind that you would hold over the area?
It's a handheld device, kind of like a microphone would be shaped.
Oh, okay.
And the end of the microphone is the light source.
Okay,
and so
okay.
you point it at the skin, and most animals like it. They just sit there and
take it.
And they take it. So,
Yeah.
So it's a real simple thing to do. It's just, you know, and now everybody's busy lifestyle. It's hard for them to come in and, you know, 3 days a week for a couple of weeks. And
oh, now, see, I said we were going to take David's phone call, and what did he do? He hung up. David, call us back. I know you waited quite a while, but I was going to get take care of your phone call right now. So if you're still listening and have a minute, call Scotty right back. We'll get you right on because I wanted to answer your – he had a question about his bird. I have no idea if it had anything to do with energy medicine or not. But then, of course, we know you're not a bird
avian
vet.
Medicine
you're
not an avian is not my strong suit. So,
but you never know. We might have been able to help in
Who
some
knows?
Way, shape, or form. So, David, if you're still out there, give us a call back.
You could probably help him with a wing and a prayer.
Joe.
All right.
You know, Joe, while people are listening to this discussion, I thought it might be a good idea if you give your websites and they could follow this discussion along and look at these things that we're talking about.
Oh, cool. Good idea.
Which is mtavet.com.
mtavet.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I checked it out after our last Vet Sunday, and it's great because you can see pictures of the units and what they look like, what they do, sort of thing.
And Joe's got some links on there for YouTube to show people how to use it as well.
So mtavet.com, folks, if you want to open that website up now, you can take a look at what these things look like. And if you've got questions, of course, we will entertain your phone calls anytime for the rest of the show. Local number call-in is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And toll-free with anywhere is 888-298-5569, 888-298-5569, and you can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. So you actually find, Bill, that the animals don't mind being treated with the class 4 laser.
No, they like it.
And it sounds like you set it up like kind of a spa situation for them on the floor with a pad and stuff. But do you think they're actually, and Joe, do you feel anything with that class 4 laser? Are those animals feeling something that they enjoy? Or is it just maybe the attention and on the pad with everybody and having a good, you know?
Well, it depends on which, I don't want to get too complicated here, but it depends on which phase or which mode the laser's in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's in what is called a continuous wave, where the laser light is on all the time, that area does become warm.
And, okay, so there's a warmth.
And it does feel good.
Okay.
And, you know, you begin to get that just initial analgesic effect, just like putting on a hot pack.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense.
That's one of the first, there's a lot more complex as to what all it does, but just initially, just the warmth of the laser has an analgesic effect.
Oh, that's nice. All right, now David did cooperate and call us back, so let's see if we can figure out something great to help him with his bird, and we will get back to our energy medicine conversation. So, David and Kenmore, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Bill and Joe.
Oh, hi, Mark. Hopefully my battery will hold up.
Okay.
It's kind of weak.
Well, if it runs out, you just plug back in and recharge, and then you call us back in the next hour after you've recharged, okay?
Hey, well, I sent you a couple of emails through the week. I had a bird problem. Before I get to my bird problem, I have a short cat to quit. My friend's cat is developing these bumps around its head. Are those fleas or is that mange?
Bumps around the head on a cat.
When you pet the cat, you feel these bumps.
Feel like scabs, David, or are they actually lumpy lumps?
No, they're scabs. I had a dog that had the... I think it's mange, isn't it?
Your two most common causes for that would be flea allergy or food allergy.
Flea allergy or food allergy. Mange doesn't, in and of itself, doesn't cause lumps or scabs, right?
It can, but it's not that common.
Yeah.
Okay, now Dr. Pletcher was recommending this Nutrimen. Are you familiar with that?
For what?
Okay, I'm getting into my bird now.
Okay.
But I was thinking of recommending this Nutrimen to my friend for his cat to try it. Adding it to the cat's diet to see if that would correct the problem.
Well, now, David is referring to Dr. Al Pluckner, who's the author of Pets at Risk and who's done Vet Sunday a lot, for anybody that's listening. And Dr. Al has for many years really liked this. It's called Nutrimen, and it's I think, know more about it than I do, Dr. Bill.
It's a glacial clay is essentially what it is. It's thousands and thousands or millions of years old, and it's compressed and aged vegetation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it contains, I think, the particular clay that he uses, which is referred to as montmorillonite. I believe theirs has 56 or 8 different minerals and trace minerals and ultra trace minerals. I'm accustomed to using a product that's got 72 different minerals, but the most important thing is that they're what we call chelated, which means they've been processed by plants, and our body recognizes that as a proper nutrient. So it's a great way to get your nutritional or get your minerals into your diet, which most pet foods are
lacking.
Mineral deficient.
Yeah.
They have, you know, just things that the body doesn't recognize.
Now, this is when we talked in the first hour about dogs that eat rocks, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
This would be an appropriate supplement, wouldn't you think,
those? It's a good supplement. I take it myself, so.
You do take it?
Yeah.
All right, and mm-hmm. so.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, and so probably a good idea for David's bird.
Problem.
Yeah, my bird has starting to lose a lot of feathers under both of its wings.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fourth cockatiel that I've had that had the same problem. I lost four others to this problem.
Well, you got to be always looking at, you know, husbandry and nutrition in birds, and I don't want to go too far into that because my experience is limited, but.
But I can tell you in David's emails, because mm-hmm. I am aware of the emails and I did see them, David, that you sent to us. But you've worked with every bird specialist in our area, pretty much, right?
Sorry.
Yeah. So he's run the gamut. Mm-hmm. He's not just fooling around on his own.
Okay.
He's seen all the bird guys
mm-hmm.
and still has this problem and continues to have it with all of your birds.
Yeah, well, this one here is the only one I have left. This is about 2 years old, and it's been fine up until about 2 months ago when it started losing feathers under the elbow of the wing.
Well, I'd definitely try to find out what the dosing is for your bird with the Nutrimen.
I think Al was just saying use it as a scratch or something.
Probably just dust it lightly on some of the food sources.
Yeah.
Well, I've been using the... I have a dulse, and I have a French clay that I've been using on it for the last couple of weeks, and it's really improving.
It is improving.
One side and the clay on the other.
All the different types of clays around the world have different mineral composition.
Well, now, Dr. Plechner said something about the negative ion.
Right.
And,
if you go to the website, you can read a little bit about the technology, but they feel that it has a special ion charging, which I believe makes it more bioavailable and also helps with detoxification.
Well, I know that's interesting because that negative ion business, because that's something I've heard about related to the biomat that I use, which is, amethyst crystals, far infrared heat, and they say negative ions. But the negative ions in the biomat, they say, come from the materials that the mat is made from. And as it was explained to me, that negative ions are good for the body and promote healing, whereas positive ions are not good. And I don't know what they do, but they're not good. And that natural fibers like cotton or wool produce naturally negative ions. Synthetics like the polyester and the rayon, that kind of stuff, produce positive ions. So like when you lay on the biomat, they say you have to be dressed in natural fibers or you will negate the negative ion. So is it similar with the clay thing? Do you think are negative and positive ions, is that the same thing or is it different?
I think it's in a similar category. What I would suggest you do is just go to CaliforniaEarthMinerals.com.
CaliforniaEarthMinerals.com.
I'm pretty sure that's the website.
Yeah, it is. I went to it yesterday.
Let's do a little reading and just kind of inform yourself and make your decision.
Yeah.
And if you do use it with your birds, David, will you please keep us informed?
Well, I sure will. Yeah, Dr. Plechner, he recommended, I think, put it in the water and use it topical also.
Now, we do have another listener. You know Peg in Olympia, Dr. Bill, because she's done a lot of work with her birds and with Dr. Plechner and all of that. I wonder, do you know if she's using the mineral, the clay?
I believe she is.
Okay. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know if Peg, if you're listening, if you are using the Nutrimen, if you feel it's helping your birds, maybe you could call us and let us know. So David, we could pass it on to David. All right. Anything else you need to know at this point, David?
That's great. Well, it'd be possible to get one of Ann Martin's books.
Oh, Food Pets Die For? You don't have that copy?
No.
Well, since you asked so nicely, all right. Gary, let's put David back on hold so Scotty can give him a book.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dave. Enjoy the book and hold on so Scotty can get your information, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for calling Animal World.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So now, Joe, do you know of any cases where the Class 4 laser or the Assisi loops are being used on birds for anything?
There is one veterinarian that is using the loop for birds down in Florida. She's using it just mainly for infections and so forth. They get various wounds. I guess they fight with each other and so forth. And, but I honestly don't. There's no reason why it wouldn't work on any type of wound or arthritis condition and any type of animal.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how they would use it with a bird. Obviously, you can't lay it on the bird, so maybe you'd have to hold the bird and then hold the loop next to him or something.
I believe that's what she was doing. She was holding the bird and
using
the bird. Now, was she using the Assisi or the Class 4, Joe?
Assisi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I would think any modality would work great for birds or reptiles or...
Yeah, so you could use the loops on anybody.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, I know some of the arthritis studies that were done with the Assisi loop were actually done in rabbits. There's a certain breed of rabbit that gets, like, osteoarthritis. It means, like, they all get it, and they used it for some studies. I don't know any. I can't cite the paper or anything, but I do know that, you know, with any of these products, they can be used in any type of exotic species. Hmm. I have a veterinarian here locally who used it on his ferret.
Oh, on a ferret.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
You got to be careful if ferrets take things and hide them. You could lose that Assisi loop.
Yeah.
But so you say the most common uses or the most common help is with osteoarthritis?
Well, that's
and
one of
the neurological stuff.
And neurological. But, you know, the veterinarians are really trying it on these cases where they've tried everything else, regardless of what it might be, and nothing's worked. You know, they're giving it a shot just to see what happens. Non-healing wounds, it's very effective in healing wounds that don't heal. Bones that don't heal.
I think you mentioned lick granulomas, too.
Lick granulomas. The laser works great for that.
Okay.
Hot
spots for the class 4 laser, acute ear infections, anal sac irritation, contaminated wounds.
Wow.
We use that.
Sounds
you can
like
use
can...
a light laser for a lot of those areas to start your therapy.
Now, with the Assisi loop, when you do a treatment, it's a 15 minutes. What about with a class 4 laser?
Is there a time? The time varies with the modality, and as Joe alluded to, with the class 4 laser, it's a lot more powerful energy source. So your treatment times are not as long because you're getting, they measure it in what they call joules, mm-hmm. which is a measurement of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting a lot more energy faster, so your treatment times are not necessarily as long.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the treatment times for lasers can be as little as, you know, 30 seconds to or up to 8 to 10 minutes. It all depends on,
wow.
A lot of it depends on the size of the animal
mm-hmm.
and how much power you're using.
So we use them post-surgically at the office for surgical wounds.
Oh.
We'll treat a surgical wound when we're done, and it may only take 45 seconds to treat the wound. But they feel that it decreases pain and increases healing.
Wow, okay. So now are you using this as a matter of course with every
mm-hmm.
surgery patient
yes.
now? You
yes.
just do a laser treatment before you put them into recovery?
When we're done, we treat the area.
What about the other? I'm getting a flash of what about when you do dentistries? Like you've got like
yes.
you're doing
extractions.
and really bad mouth. You treat the mouth before you
mm-hmm.
wake them up. And
mm-hmm.
wow. Now
I
do
have,
you know enough to know at this point that you're seeing faster recovery and all that?
I only do surgery one day a week now, so I don't get a lot of those disaster cases. But
mm-hmm.
what I'd like to do is to. You know, if you've got a multiple extractions, is to only treat one side of the mouth if you have multiple extractions and then get to follow that case along. But I'm not there enough now to follow those cases along and see it. But, yeah, you can treat
okay.
one side, not the other.
All right. Now, we don't have a lot of time left before. We've got to take care of advertisers and sponsors and do a current events. But our Peg called in, and so she may have an answer for if this nutriment has helped her bird. So let's find out. Peg and Olympia, welcome to Animal World.
Hi.
Hey,
Martha.
You heard us talking to you, huh?
Yeah, I heard the chat. I did. I do use Nutrimen with the birds and my dogs. And I might add that for bird owners, this is the montmorillonite that is Nutrimen is the same montmorillonite that Greg Harrison uses in his pellet.
Ah, okay.
So, it's been kind of tested.
Now,
do you think
it's helping your birds?
Oh yeah, I have rescue birds. I have a cockatoo that has 5 pieces of metal embedded in his gizzard.
Oh.
So he's pretty much toxic all the time with zinc, and I think it's helped keep him alive.
Wow. Okay.
It's a powerful detoxifier.
Okay. Well, that's great. So, Dave, if you're listening, Peg says it is helping her birds, so definitely
yeah.
worth a try.
I have another macaw that has came to me with awful seizures, was supposed to be dead that week. That was 6 years ago, and I think it's helping him. Can't be, you know, these types of things, it's not like Western medicine. It doesn't happen right away. But he's really improved immensely.
Peg, how do you dose it to your birds? Do you put it on their fruits, or what do you do?
Yeah, I put it in their water.
Yeah.
And I apparently that's an old, that clay trick is something that ancient mariners used when they went to sea. They put their water in a barrel, and to keep the water from going bad, they put clay in it.
Oh.
Right type of clay. So I have not run tests on it. I'm thinking of doing that, but I kind of think it has kind of an antibiotic. You know, it's hard for my, you know, the bad stuff to grow in this stuff. So I'm thinking maybe it keeps water a lot purer than it would without it. They use it in aquariums also for fish, and it keeps the water much better. So,
oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So, and I've used it topically. Bam Bam, my macaw, once used very poor judgment, and when my back was turned, he climbed up on my cockatoo's cage, two bird, who promptly bit him in both feet.
Ouch.
And of course, it was a Saturday night, lots of blood, no vets. So the only thing I could think of doing was making a paste of this clay. He could hardly stand, so I pasted him up with clay. And the next morning, I couldn't even see where the bites were. I was just amazed.
Wow.
Suzanne down at the pound here in shelter.
Shelter,
you know, Suzanne Beauregard.
Right.
She takes in a lot of birds, and I think she has a cockatoo right now that was thrown against the wall by a drunk. And it took a lot of surgery just to put the chest back together, and part of the wing was amputated. Well, the wing just turned really kind of toxic. It was just seeping all over the place. So I gave her some clay, and she was packed out on, and it apparently it just dried it up, and it was amazing. So,
wow. Yeah, that's one of my most familiarity with clay stuff is using it, at, you know, mixing it up into kind of a paste and using it on stuff to draw poison out and stuff.
Well, of course, I use that on Pershing a lot to draw.
I was just going to say, her dog Pershing comes in and he always has his facial on when he gets there.
Well, he doesn't anymore. He's got hair.
He used to have his facial clay on.
Yeah, it was the only thing that could, he wasn't allergic to.
It worked, absolutely.
Okay, well, now we have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors.
Thanks,
so,
Peg,
thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And but do call us back next hour if you've got more to add. Joe, hold on, and we'll put everything on hold for a moment, take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and come back and hopefully kick off a quick current event. And then we've got another full hour and open phone lines, so stay with us. Vet Sunday continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs and prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, I just talked to somebody this week, one of my clients, I think, said, you know, we've been going to Jones & Company now on a regular basis because it's a great store and they have so much stuff and their prices are fabulous. So check them out, jonesandcompanypets.com, or go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Jones & Company link on the homepage. Check out all the stuff that they have on sale. You'll find it's worth the trip to Marysville. You'll find Jones & Company on State Avenue, right up the street from Quilcita Vet and Dr. Bill. You can give Jones & Company a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
The best in Northwest sports talk is heard every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m., your alternative talk station. It's Sports Tangle with Gary Hill and Mike Roberge. Whether it's Mariners, Seahawks, Cougars, or even the Huskies, Sports Tangle is the place to be. For informative, entertaining, and insightful sports talk, it's Sports Tangle. Gary Hill, Mike Roberge with you every Sunday afternoon, 1 to 2 p.m. or sportstangle.com.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful beautiful silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Dogs and cats can experience bad breath, gas, and intestinal discomfort even with a healthy diet. OptiGest is a complete formula of four plant-based enzymes and is the food for the healthy bacteria which supports the natural balance that can be upset by diet change, travel or separation, or the normal aging process. OptiGest has no inactive ingredients or fillers. OptiGest's natural formula supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Go to inclover.com/OptiGest for more information.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've known the good folks at Invisible Fence Northwest for more than 20 years now. And like me, they love helping people solve their pet-related problems. Their humane solutions can keep your animal friend from darting out the front door or safe within your yard. Keep pets off furniture and counters or out of bedrooms and kitchens. Their gentle training methods allow your animal friends to discover boundaries on their own terms. Go to InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-800. FENC. Tell them I sent you and you'll save $100. So call them for a free in-home evaluation and estimate today. This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and did you know I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer as well, and owner of Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. I'd love to hear from you because I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. And now for the real reason for this ad. Go Huskies!
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Oh, Christmas tree. Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're in the middle of Vet Sunday. Dr. Bill Burlingame is here. Joe Thompson, the energy medicine specialist guy, is here. And we're going to just do a really quick current events to wrap up this hour, and then we'll have a full hour with Dr. Bill and Joe and open phone lines for your calls. Now, today, Meow's Holiday Open House, Craft Bazaar, and Bake Sale is happening from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Meow Shelter in Kirkland's Houghton Village. They've got Santa Claus is there. They've got a lot of home-crafted gift items you can shop for. Raffle, refreshments. Excuse me. And they're Meow masterpieces. They put the cats to work and they're painting, and you can purchase them. They also would love it if you'd bring a pet food donation to their ongoing Animeals pet food drive, which benefits Hope Leak in Kirkland. So that's at Meow today from 2 to 5 p.m. Let's see. Celebrate the holidays with, oh, this is cool, with a live tree and help out local salmon streams. Saturday, December 18th, this is going on at the Adopt a Stream Foundation, that's in Everett, from Saturday the 18th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you can rent a 5-foot tree from them. And it's very cool. It's $20 plus a $10 return deposit fee, and you get to take the live tree home for Christmas and have it, and then you bring it back. They give you your $10 back, and then they plant it by a salmon tree. So that's very cool. So www.streamkeeper.org, or you can call them at 425-316-8592. If you miss any of this info, go to MarthaNorwalk.com and click on current events. Let's see, Santa Claus photos at Seattle Animal Shelter on December 12th.